Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. And we are in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. And this is the last show of the year.
And I'm excited. Not just because we're leaving, but
that's
because...
That's the only reason I'm excited.
this is a... You know, today at 8 o'clock is something, and I know, yeah, we're going to be replaying something because we've been doing that for the past, what we've done for 8 shows now. Near the end of the year, we always do that. However, at 8 o'clock is something that I actually have friends who have set alarms on their phones to make sure that they're listening at 8 o'clock. Some of them who have heard it before, some of them who have never heard it. And the people who had here want to hear it again. We are going to, on the final day of the year, of our year, go through in its entirety an encore presentation of Mark Jamelli's Recliner Christmas. And there's so many different like legs and things that have come out of it, including yesterday, one Mark Jamelli came in studio and recorded his commercial. I was not here. However, I did get to hear the final product. And after...
Oh, look at this! recliners everywhere!
You're not too far off. After the recliner Christmas...
Oh, wow! And it's right around... there's a Carl's Jr.!
Nick, come in here. Nick is like waving his arms about something. Just come in.
Yeah, oh, my goodness! Look at this! It's the King of Burgers!
I mean, he was very
excited. Burger King!
He's very excited about things.
Yeah!
Yes, Nick, you were in the other room.
They start this morning. They actually start in the next commercial break.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, you were upset that your dad was doing these.
I wasn't upset, no.
Well, nervous.
Bringing him to where I work? Yeah.
I was nervous. Now, did he get here on his own?
What?
Did he get here on his own?
No, I picked him up.
Okay, so he does not drive.
No.
Hence the excitement over Calhoun. Wow.
That's right. That's right.
Do you ever just drive around town just to make him happy? Just so he can see things and signs?
And... like, oh, a new building.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Oh, look at that brick building. Wow.
How did he handle it yesterday?
He did great.
Did the final product. Is...
And Fred was right. He nailed his lines, but I did not.
yeah, there's a... I don't know
Nicholas, you suck.
There was 3 different commercials. I don't know which one's airing in the next commercial break, but all I know is that there's one that's a back and forth between you two.
Starts in January.
So. Oh, okay.
That doesn't start till January. They got to get Nicholas to be normal and talk right.
It's going to take that long to edit together your many, many takes?
It didn't take that long.
Do you remember the dude in Bird commercial? when they did the commercial for the shakes and the bananas at whatever the fitness place was.
it
was not far off from that.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's great. It's but it's.
What do you want to do after you go in here? I don't know, man. Have a shake. I did it.
The Duda Bird commercial was just like.
What do you want to do? A shake? You have a shake over there?
Yeah, I like shakes. They're really good. All right. Well, what you got over there? I got bananas. You want some bananas? Hey, bananas sound really good to me. Yeah, the Duda Bird show commercial was a thing of art, but I believe that you guys might have topped it there, Nick. And the great thing, too, is like you can hear, like, I can't hear Mark Jamelli and not instantly just smile because the guy's having the time of his life when he's recording these things. You can completely tell that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He thoroughly enjoys the experience.
Was he coaching you, Nick, on how to do it?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, Nicholas, look, you suck at it. Oh, your dad is so much better than you. Look at me.
So, So, I mean, it sounded somewhat similar to.
Hey, dude, would you like to come work out with me?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool. Go by Great Boston Fitness and get a quick workout in.
Sounds good. Where are we going?
Whenever you want. We'll go right after the podcast. And after our workout, we can have a Great Boston Fitness shake.
Ooh, are they any good?
Yeah, they're great.
Ooh, I'll definitely take one of those.
All right.
Dude, I heard they have a 20,000 square foot facility, or at least that's what I read on greaterbostonfit.com.
Yes, it's all true. They have a variety of equipment and knowledgeable staff.
Cool, so they're there to help.
Yes, they are. Keeping us active for our show, Great Boston Fitness, we build people.
I was just checking out greaterbostonfit.com, and I saw the square footage of this place that you're discussing.
Hey, what do we want to have? Go to the workout? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. What do you want to a shake?
You got bananas?
Are they any good?
Got bananas there.
You bet your ass they're good. They're real good.
So good for your dad. So he came in here, and how long did it take for you to do those three commercials?
Probably half an hour.
Oh, wow. Can I get outtakes?
Maybe. You got to talk to John.
It was Riley. Okay.
Yeah.
See, Roger would have sent them to me already. He would have like said, all right, well, I think you might want this.
I want a lot.
I actually texted Nick yesterday because I went to the North End and I wanted to go find dinner. We had no idea where we were going to go. And I was just like, Nick, what's your dad's favorites? Give me a list.
And he said, I'm not around.
What's that?
And then Nick said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, who is this person you're discussing?
Right.
Who likes meatballs? No. He gave me a recommendation. And it's funny. I ran into someone yesterday. That was the first thing they mentioned. They said, are you here because of Mark Jamelli? He said it was good. And I'm like, dude, that's exactly why I'm here. It's because I showed him the text. I'm like, yes. I texted Nick and said, where are his favorite places to get meatballs? And now we have this amazing piece of audio that I'm just absolutely thrilled about.
It's in the next break, Nicholas. I'll be on Twitch bothering everyone.
So, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Young Nicholas.
Yep.
Gets that going for him. And it's the next commercial break.
It's one of them. It's one of the three. The next commercial break. And I guess the Mona Lisa of all of them doesn't start until January.
Which is the back and forth between him and Nicholas?
Yeah. I think the one you're going to hear is two of them have just Mark Jamelli. And then one of them has the two of them going back and forth.
What do you think the very natural conversation of the back and forth is going to be?
Oh, I've heard it.
Dad, do you want to get a recliner? I mean, what role
I love recliners, Nicholas.
and then Nick will say,
yeah, that's right. I do. I love them. Nicholas, you suck. you're bad at your job.
I think he said that. He said, use your words, Nicholas.
Use your words, Nicholas. On the radio, you got to paint a picture with your words.
I like that he doesn't drive, so that's why he's so excited about what's going on.
Yeah, that's a new layer. I did not know that. I didn't know he didn't drive.
He's just in the North End, like, you know, walking around. If you get him out into the wild.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this is why the parking garage is such an item of excitement.
I was looking for the blue light.
That's
yesterday.
Other people driving.
Well, he's already admitted he was excited about that.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. You were wondering why he's so excited about the parking garage? You have your answer.
A lot of my friends, the cars. Look at that one. It's blue. Oh, that kid's in there. I bet you they're having a great time.
All right, so you are a Lightning fan?
I thought that was the blue light thing. It was the wrong clip there.
Get your clips right. They should all be about me.
All right. Well, I look forward to hearing about that. Rich, what are we going to discuss?
Well, let's discuss the Bruins, who looked really good last night. On top of that, we have the latest on Josh Gordon. We're going to have Burt Breer in as well at 7 o'clock, who it was an interesting day for the Patriots. And we'll talk about the fallout and some of the behind the scenes of what was going on over the last month or so while they've been dealing with this.
All right. We will have all that for you and more as we slide in to the holiday season. As we, the clock ticks before we leave here immediately at 10 a.m. and get to our respective destinations. That will be happening. And look forward to Mr. Gemelli's commercial.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
All right, Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin'. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin'. Dunkin' go-tos. Participation may vary. The shorthanded Bruins find a way to beat the Ducks for the first time in 5 years.
Krug kicks it down to the right hash. Sauced into the slot. Backus knotted up. Now near circle. Pastrnak, he scores!
Who is that who scored that goal?
Pasta.
Oh, yes, of course it was. Well, the Bruins continue to surprise in a time when we all hope they just keep their head above water in their 3-1 win over Anaheim. Two power plays helped propel the Bruins ahead with a goal from Pastrnak on one and a Torrey Krug back and forth that led Jack, or did you see Jack Edwards? Tick, tack, goal. Kind of cheesy, Jack, but not bad
really?
At the time.
that's a huge shock.
But with Patrice out, one player who has been thriving, and because of his success, what to do with him in the next few weeks is becoming a conundrum.
Near side, Pastrnak swoops in. Krejci scores! Krejci took a one-time feed along the near side, and that was a howitzer at the top of the right-wing circle. He blistered it by John Gibson. 3-0. Of the Ducks.
And with that, David Krejci notched his 600th point. With Patrice gone, Krejci has had somewhat of a renaissance playing with Marchand and Pastrnak. So what do you do with the lines once Patrice is back? We talked to Billy Jaffe about this yesterday. Do you reunite Patrice with Pasta and Marchand and bring back what was arguably the best line in hockey? Or do you move Krejci up to play with Pasta, drop Marchand and Rafters down to the second line?
You cannot move Bergeron away from Marchand. That cannot happen.
No. Those two are together.
And then you would put Krejci with Pastrnak. And
on the,
you would have
on the first line.
It doesn't matter because, I mean, you have to match up to, I mean, Bergeron's got to be on the ice when against the first line from another team. So, I mean, the first, second line, they're interchangeable. And then you have to make the decision about who's going to be the wings. And I don't think Donato is going to be a good NHL player, but he is in the debate to be on the wing with Pastrnak and Krejci.
Now, DeBrusk can play. He can be on the line with Krejci. I mean, he's actually had a little bit of chemistry going with David Krejci before he got hurt. So, I mean, that's a line right there. But then, who do you put on the Marchand Patrice Bergeron line? I know we had talked about a little bit, like Danton Heinen.
Yeah, Heinen or Donato. What they're debating.
Well, what do you do when Patrice comes back? That is the question. Either way, Bruce Cassidy knows that he has some decisions to make soon.
Listen, we're assuming Bergie's he's very close. We know that. Whether it's Saturday or Sunday or next week, we don't know. But we're going to have to look at the, you know, do we want to upset all the lines maybe to balance it out, or just want to, you know, drop Bergie back in there and move Krejci? So it's a lot of ifs. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. But a very welcome decision to have Bergie back in there. Like I said, he can't lose, right? That's the way I look at it. Whoever we put in there, whether it's Krejci or Bergie, we're a better team for it.
Well, next up, the Bruins take on the team with the worst goal song in the NHL, the Nashville Predators. Sing it, Alan Jackson. I like it, I love or Tim McGraw. Ooh. And it's even worse to see it live in Nashville with the accompanying video. It's like, I don't know what it is about Predators hockey. Change two words in a song that was already a hit. And then the place goes nuts. They have like a live band on a stage that overlooks the ice, which that part of it is fine. But when Tim McGraw comes on, it is vomit inducing.
Is that Tim McGraw or Alan Jackson?
It's Tim McGraw. It's Tim McGraw.
Is there a big difference?
You
don't hear a lot of Alan Jackson anymore.
No, he was way down yonder on the Chattahoochee. It gets hotter than a hoochie coochie.
Yeah, well, which is offensive. And then he was on Home Improvement.
Alan Jackson?
Yeah, what was his song like about the car?
Oh, Find Me a Mercury and Drive It All and Down the Road. Like, Alan Jackson has like no passion in his voice at all.
And they let Alan Jackson ride. like he goes on Home Improvement, but he goes on the show, like, within the show.
Yeah.
And they just go like, hey, sing the Mercury song.
Oh, so this is a what's happening with the Doobie Brothers type of situation.
No, there's nothing quite like the Doobie Brothers episode where they had two
full songs.
Full shows. No, two full shows. I think they played four songs.
It was a double episode. Oh, wow. So they did, like, two per episode.
Yes.
Okay. And then
they really milked rerun taping the show. They did indeed. Because there's nothing more than Watts High School kids in the 70s.
Who love the Doobie Brothers.
Want to hear this is the Doobie Brothers.
That's what they're all cranking.
Yeah, they were like, they love the Doobie Brothers. Mike, go ahead.
A couple things. First, I just want to say Mark Jamelli's commercial, gold. I listen to that all day. Another thing for Nick to think about, besides quitting radio, would be get his dad with him, do a father and son podcast, have a couple of them, both of them sit in recliners and just talk.
Now, why would Nick have to be there?
Actually, that's a good question. Maybe you could just have a Mark Jamelli meatball podcast, and that'd be pretty good.
You could just hold up pictures of things, and he would overreact to them. Ah, Abraham Lincoln, he was something else, wasn't he? Look at that hat!
I just think that him, every once in a while, the subtle insult that he throws him would be worth it.
Nick,
you got to close your mouth when you eat.
Well, no, but Nick would be so, tongue-tied the entire time.
I guess so. He could be. Well, there you go. So there's that. By the way, just in case you're asking, what's the best goal song in the NHL? Well, that would have to be the Dallas Stars, who just said, what up, Pantera? Oh, yeah, get some metal in you. Ready to shred.
They're all dead, though.
No, only one's dead.
Vinnie Paul's dead.
Did Vinnie Paul die, too?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, maybe he just died, didn't he, recently? Yeah. So, yeah. Well, rest in peace, Dimebag and Vinnie Paul.
I got the two brothers. So now all that's left is the guy that looked like he was going to die first.
Rex, the bassist.
The bassist was like 85 years old.
Rex was like, you know what? Do you even exist? You know, in the mix, we're just going to bury that bass so it isn't really a thing.
Yeah, like Rex would be on, he would be on, if you don't know Rex, so Phil Anselmo is...
back in the Vulgar Display of Powers, he was like shaved his head and he was like this Iron Man and like all about boxer. Like, you know, being tough.
And Dimebag and Vinny were brothers, and so they brought this. And
they're
then
flamboyant.
There was this, and then there was this very old guy. Just in the bag, holding down the groove.
Just wasn't, like, special at all. You couldn't ever hear him in the mix. It was just like, all right, Rex, you stand behind everyone.
Yeah, he didn't sing back up. He was just...
No, just Rex.
It was just, Rex used to pump our gas.
I'm Rex.
So we, hey, don't mind me at all. I'm Rex.
Well, there we go. Puck drops tomorrow at 1 p.m. right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Well, yesterday during our show, Josh Gordon released a statement saying that he was stepping away from football a while to work on his mental health. Many people speculated that he may have been getting ahead of any pending news that he was to be suspended later on the day regarding a violation of his substance abuse policy. Well, that proved true when the NFL announced that Josh's suspension was for that very reason. And now, because of his previous four suspensions for drug violations, based on the discipline schedule that this whole collective bargaining agreement agreed to, Gordon's going to be facing banishment from the league for any positive test, though he could still apply for reinstatement. Also, because the NFL announces suspensions after the completion of the appeals process, the Patriots have been aware that Josh Gordon had failed another test for some time now, believed to be more than a month, because it takes that long to actually get it all back. So because of this, they expressed interest in acquiring Demaryius Thomas. Remember, there was that rumor that was out there around the trade deadline from the Broncos, who ultimately sent him a fourth and a seventh round pick to the Texans for a fourth and seventh rounder. That's what it was. So it was like a back and forth. It didn't seem like too high of a price outside of his salary.
Right.
If you're knowing what you know now, Fred, about how the Patriots knew that Josh Gordon more than likely wasn't going to play much longer for them, do you think they should have bit on that deal? You think they should have gotten Demaryius Thomas?
If they knew, yeah. If they knew about Gordon,
well,
yeah.
Well, it sounds like they did. It sounds like they've known for a month, which would be before the trade deadline. And according to reports, that's one of the reasons that they ultimately were reaching out to him. And another thing that might be infuriating, if you believe they knew.
They don't seem overly invested in this season overall.
No, not at all, Fred. And even at the beginning of the year, we said that. Also, on top of that, I guess they rejected at least one trade deadline inquiry about Philip Dorsett. So, and they're just like, well, maybe that's one of the reasons that they kept Philip Dorsett around, who, you know, has been such an asset to this team.
Yeah, he's averaging one target every eight games.
Dude, think about all the crap that they did at the beginning of the season. Like, Eric Decker, remember he was here for a moment? Like, that was another thing.
There was a point in the beginning of the season, people thought they had too many wide receivers. Like, what are they going to do with all of these wide receivers?
But none of them were, like,
and they're all gone.
Stellar. Like, at the time, that was all, like, these bargain basement guys. Then we have Jordan Matthews. That's right. So you had all these different guys, but none of them outside of, hey, can't wait till Edelman gets back after his four-game suspension, did you, like, thoroughly believe in as being a threat?
None of them.
None of them. And even Edelman, we all knew that time was going to catch up with him. And he was coming back from an injury. So there was, like, no surefire weapon that you knew he was going to have. And look, you reap what you sow.
It's a good thing that they didn't sign Amendola and traded away Brandon Cooks, because those guys certainly wouldn't be useful now.
Yeah, I mean,
Brady's expressed as much, yes, that he was very excited about Amendola leaving.
Well, yesterday
couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah. Well, yesterday was a very strange day regarding news leaking out about Josh Gordon, including what was quite possibly one of the most ridiculous tweets from a sports writer that I can even imagine. It doesn't even make sense to me. This is someone who just has no idea. I'll read it to you. Ian Rappaport yesterday, who is usually kind of ironclad with his sources, tweeted out the dumbest thing I think I've seen a sports reporter tweet out yesterday about Josh Gordon. We'll get to that. Also, members of the team react to Gordon being gone, including Mr. Matthew Slater. So we'll get to hear from him as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And also,
don't worry about me. I'll still be down there. I'm the gunner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the gunner. Not an all-pro this year. Darn it.
All right. We will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
Thatcher and Rich.
What is this?
Getting sound like a Napoleon Dynamite Christmas.
It was labeled as funky Christmas. That's all it said. So,
I think it was that.
Well, it's certainly funky.
I have a bunch of okay Christmas beds in our group. It's Xmas Dash.
Xmas Dash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, everyone look forward to all the spirit as we wait out these next 3+ hours. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a 4-pack of tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters on December 26th at the Garden at the Globetrotters game. You just won't be watching the action. You could be in the middle of it. Tickets make a great holiday gift. Get yours today at harlemglobetrotters.com.
All right, so, you know, I told you about how...
I'm being functified.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if you'll please allow me...
It was a funky Christmas?
A moment to get... Oh, now it's just too much fun now.
Spacing out, man.
If we could get Joan Jett's Little Drummer Boy some point this morning, I'd be real happy.
You know what, Marshall Hook? We can do whatever you want.
Oh, thanks.
I don't care.
What about Rosie O'Donnell's I'm Gonna Eat for Christmas? Which might be the most depressing
Christmas
song.
We have to play that once an hour. Oh, that's the greatest.
Don't want ribbons, don't want bows, don't want Rudolph's shiny nose. I'm gonna eat for Christmas. Yeah, that might be the most depressing Christmas song of all time.
But your Louis Anderson plays it.
It is very Louis Anderson-esque.
Yeah, well, you know there's a reason for that.
I'm going to get hit by a shoe for Christmas.
My father was an alcoholic. And that's why
eat so much?
Mm-hmm. Laugh at my jokes.
What are you, a young comic? That's got a room in my house.
That's a creepy side of him I had no idea about until you said...
Now, David Spade was a young comic.
Yes, that is very strange.
All young and short. Stay at my house.
So, according to, I believe it was Jeff Howe of The Athletic, he was saying that, you know, in these types of cases, the team knows for a while, even upwards of a month, that Josh Gordon was going to be in trouble with a positive drug test. And then Ian Rappaport came out with this tweet yesterday. He said, quote, "The Patriots knew this was coming, and it affected them on the field. They used Cordarrelle Patterson over Gordon on the last play Sunday. For the price of a fifth rounder, New England received 40 catches, 720 yards, 3 TD, blah, blah, blah." Huh?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, Josh Gordon played almost every snap like before that. All
what did
like
I say, Rich? What did I say yesterday? As soon as they announced this, I said that someone's going to come up with the point that they didn't play him, like, as if they got a telegram sent to them.
Like, right
the
before that play.
And that it would... By the way, he practiced 2 days ago.
Yes.
So, like, that there would be any... I mean, it's so... I predicted it. I rarely predict anything correctly.
But just...
But the, I predicted that would be a take, and I don't understand, like, what did they get? Even if they told him, hey, he got popped for a drug test... What would they? What, why
the
would I?
Suspension takes place immediately, right now.
Like, why would I care?
Right. Between the second to last play and the final play,
that's when it took effect.
There was a guy, like one of those newsies, showed up, like with like old mail delivery boys. Sir, I have a telegram.
He's been suspended. Get him off the field now.
Dan, go ahead.
Hello. But. How are you?
Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
I just wanted to see Freddie pass the test. He always takes phone calls that are going to like make fun of him. But I love you, Fred.
Thank you.
I love.
All right. Well, I thought it was going to be someone yelling at me, and I was excited to get that over with because we're not going to be here for a while. All right, go keep going.
Okay. So then there was this interesting thing that came out yesterday. So when Gordon's tweet was posted at 9:26 that he was no longer be with the team, the Patriots were a minus 13 to the Bills when you look at the Vegas spread. By 1:15 p.m., the line had gone to minus 13.5. That means that they thought, now that Josh Gordon is on the team, the Patriots have a better chance of beating the Bills. I don't understand why there was a swing in that direction.
Maybe money came in on Buffalo and they needed to adjust the line. That's my only thinking. I don't know... I have no idea how the Patriots are going to beat anyone on offense now. And I understand Gordon was only targeted twice in that Pittsburgh game. I understand he was targeted 12 times in that Tennessee game, but they have no deep threat. I guess Dorsett, if he comes in, but obviously he's
Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, I guess he's going to have to...
I don't have to double team either of those.
No, you don't. That's the one thing.
I put a spy on James White, and then I can double team Gronkowski. I know people say you don't have to, but teams do. And if Edelman wants to pick up, you know, 4 yards, God bless him. I mean, he's no deep threat. And then good luck inside the 20. I don't know what you're going to do.
But here's the one thing you can't do, and that is, as a fan of the Patriots, you can't be like, oh, man, this sucks. We completely got this is what bad luck for the Patriots. No, this is the bed they lie in because you knew that anything you got from Josh Gordon was just going to be gravy or a bonus. But on top of that, the team that's on the field right now, that's the team that the Crafts and that's the team that Bill Belichick deemed worthy of making a run with. Like, these are the guys that you thought you were going to play the entire season with. There's been no major catastrophic injury that's kept any of these guys off the field. You're looking at what they plan to go with.
Yeah.
And so now you got to deal with it. And I don't know, maybe it's a situation where a guy who, like, Philip Dorsett, who didn't get a whole lot of playing time, maybe now that he's not there, he'll realize that I have to do something here in order to not completely disappear. Well,
the Patriots being the Patriots, he'll probably come out and be like the world beater receiver.
Not with that, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? All I know is that this is not a position. It wasn't even a great position for them to be in the first place. But now without a guy who seemed to be reliable, and I don't know, maybe there was too much of a dependency on Brady to try to feed it to Josh Gordon. Maybe that was...
Well, there's been different takes. After the Tennessee game, they said they were forcing him the ball. And after the game against Pittsburgh, they said that they weren't throwing to him enough. So I mean, there's been that's been all over the place. But he was a necessity to pick up, and now that he's not there, nobody scares you. Nobody on that offense scares you.
Nope. Not even Brady right now.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Brady is, I mean, what's he, who's he going to throw to? I mean, it's, and their defense sucks. So I don't really know what you're going to, how you're going to win anything, but
just run on them. I think we've learned that just if a team shows up and just can, like, has a halfway decent running game, you
doesn't
can run.
Even have to be halfway decent. You could take a kid that was a tight end in college.
It's true. Look at the Steelers.
That was on the practice squad.
Yeah.
And pop him in, he'll go for 120.
You're absolutely right.
Running quarterbacks are also a problem for them, which means all these people who are just stamping a big W on this weekend maybe are acting a little too quickly.
Mr. Hook, I have said the same thing myself. I think that people, Buffalo's playing for their coach, and they're not bad defensively. So I certainly think that the line is a little crazy. But you know what? Maybe I'd make the square play. I mean, you got to talk to the Bankroll Boys.
Oh, I got... okay, so the Bankroll Boys. What was the degenerate special that they wanted me to bet yesterday? It was the Guggenheim Bowl, or what was it? What's the Lawnmower Bowl? No.
It was BC, right?
No. It was the
Armed Forces Bowl, Army and...
USF, but what's the name of the weird-ass bowl that was last
like
night?
It was like the Jabroni Bowl? It was like the Guggenheim Bowl.
I forget what the hell it was.
Brought you by the Guggenheim.
Yeah, I don't even know what it was, but apparently I put $100 on it. Somebody find out the name of it because it's hysterical, whatever the name of this bowl is. And they said, you know, put money on USF. And so I said, I'll give you $100 because I don't even know what the hell is going on or anything about this bowl, but it sounds
it's called the Gasparilla Bowl.
That's it, the Gasparilla Bowl. That's right, the Guggenheim Bowl. That's right. So I don't even know what the final score was. All I know is that Joe Murray tweeted me last night and said, hey, USF lost, and that's who I guess who I bet on. But they didn't play their starting quarterback because of weather, so the bet came off the board, and there's no charge. Hopefully the listeners faded it. So how about that? I bet, but I didn't bet yesterday.
The listeners always fade it.
You gotta fade it.
You gotta fade it.
Fade the big play.
Especially if you're making the square play. You gotta fade it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning more vernacular.
I have no idea what any of those things mean.
Well, neither do I.
You gotta start listening
to
the
square play. The square play, I'll tell you, Marshall.
Yeah, thank you.
Is say that the line is 13.5 on the Patriots game. Well, the squares, the nerds,
okay,
would say that's a very high line. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take the Pats. But the sharps, much like the Sochas and the Hinton book, the Outsiders, would take the Patriots.
Yes. And so, the squares and the sharps, they rumble in the streets.
Sharks
they,
and the they, Jets. I was going to say, I feel like I've been West Side
more
story
about
here.
The Greasers and the Sochas. But, you know, they both do what they have to do.
Mm-hmm. The Pink Ladies, are they in here anywhere?
They're all looking for a cool rider.
The pink ladies are everywhere.
I went grease 2 on your ass right there, by the way. I mean, and then they're going to bowl tonight.
You know, there's a beauty school dropout.
Sure. That's from the first one. You don't know school there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like to get a little more.
You're obscure. More of a Pfeiffer era grease.
Oh, Pfeiffer over Olivia Newton-John all day long.
Okay.
Pfeiffer, very flat-chested. All right. We will be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 88.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, Marshall, I can see why you really like this. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group. Contest line at 617-931-0985. I mean, I could understand hearing this and being like, yeah, we'll score a 4-pack of tickets.
This is like the flattest Christmas song.
Well, listen, she kind of mailed it in after I Love Rock and Roll. Of tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters on December 26th at the Garden at a Why does this carry any significance to you?
First of all, this was on the same album as I Love Rock and Roll.
She put a Christmas album on, like,
you know,
she's
put this song on there.
Like, sort of enslaved to this weird manager guy. Have you ever heard them interviewed?
I've not.
Like, he demands to be, like, in on every interview. It's weird. At the Globetrotters game, you won't be watching the action. You could be in the middle of it. Tickets make a great holiday gift. Get yours today at HarlemGlobetrotters.com.
I'm sorry. Could you just...
Well, part of that, I tried to play something at least funky for Friday, and then he's like, all right, play Martin Jones Jett.
For some reason, this isn't up for it.
Let me see here. Okay, don't want
tinsel, don't want bows, don't want Rudolph shiny nose. I'm gonna eat for Christmas. From my diet, I will stray, but I'll work out the next day.
Oh, what a shock.
Yeah, what a shock.
For Christmas, it's a time for giving. Well, won't you give me mashed potatoes and ham?
Oh, yeah, eat it.
Yeah. You mean these, and then she's like holding yams.
You
mean these, and then she just like nails them against her face.
Shut up! I'm starving.
I'm gonna eat for Christmas. I gotta polish off that mashed potato.
Yeah, I am. So shut up.
As normal, because Rosie O'Donnell, very strict vegan throughout the year. And then finally, let's loose come Christmas time.
That just buzzed out the shovels. That is the most depressing Christmas song
ever. I want you to play that once an hour.
I have the extended version. Which is
I would. You know what? Bert's here. There's like, how much is there to talk about? I mean, I want you to lay. I want you to give me the whole thing.
You want all of it I'm going to eat for Christmas?
Not right now. Okay. We've gotten a taste. No pun intended, but yeah, she just says, you know what? And it's not even the eating part it bothers them so much as like,
the talking in between,
burlesque like repartee that goes on between the two of them.
You're gonna polish off those yams, these yams? Yeah, hell yes.
You mean these yams? No, not particularly those. Just yams in general.
Right. Like someone should do a song like that starts off like vaudeville way, and then is answered like honestly, these yams? Yeah, dumbass, of course. What are you guys talking about?
Reaches in her pants and like, these yams? I've been carrying them around.
Just walking around with yams.
I think the yams are the least of her problems at that point.
You believe so?
I don't know. I mean, yams seems like something that has some nutritional value.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else?
This is a strange tweet that came out yesterday from Catherine Veritek. So take it for what it's worth. It's the wife of Jason Veritek, who is tied in with, of course, the Red Sox organization. And she tweeted this yesterday saying, safe to say the Red Sox versus Yankees rivalry just got a bit more fun. And then there's a smiley face emoji with sunglasses. And to that, a million people instantly said, what the hell do you know that we don't know? Maybe a possible signing that the Yankees had made. And what are you thinking? Bryce Harper or what? What's the deal? So that is
they don't want Harper. They want Machado.
Well, who knows what the deal is? Maybe it's Machado, but Catherine Veritek, who once again is the wife of Jason Veritek,
she's
who is connected, is in the organization.
She's very plugged in.
She is. She is.
Veritek's with the Yankee organization?
No, he's with the Red Sox. But they would find out whether or not, I mean, their teams talk to each other and players talk and their agents talk. So it sounds to me like maybe there's something there, if you believe that tweet. Well, the Red Sox
I thought they were Hook, if I'm not mistaken, that was pretty much a foregone conclusion they were getting Machado.
Well, I don't know. There are other teams interested, and we're pretty sure Machado will go for whatever the most money is, and we don't necessarily know that that's the Yankees. He did his visit there a couple days ago, and he still hasn't signed.
Didn't Steinbrenner come out and basically say in an interview that he was disappointed in Machado saying...
Yep.
That for his back effort, yeah, about the hustle thing at the end of the season.
What did I say? That he was? It was a foregone conclusion. He was going there. Oh, I'm sorry. No, he's not going there. The foregone conclusion is Bryce Harper's going. No, Bryce Harper's going to the Phillies.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that either of those two guys are going anywhere near the Yankees necessarily.
No,
Machado has visited with them.
I apologize, Machado. They've said that they are not interested in Machado. I apologize for that.
There is a report that Boston was reportedly amongst the 12 teams that attended a free agent Troy Tulowitzki's workout on Tuesday.
Ooh,
morning.
Hot dog!
So there you go.
Let's get a time machine.
You like the tool? So maybe he's somebody that they might be taking a look at.
Yeah, let's get back about 5 years when he was any good.
Yep.
Well, he'd be a major league minimum signing pretty much, so.
Yeah.
Well, hot dog.
Yeah.
He's a shortstop, but theoretically,
I'd like him more than Brock Holt.
Well, he can't play the outfield.
Do I need Brock Holt to play the outfield?
Yes.
I already have four outfielders.
No, you need Brock Holt to be a utility guy.
Yeah. I don't know that I need Brock Holt for anything.
You need a utility guy.
Okay.
And so, I mean, why Brock Holt? Like, why'd you bring his name?
Just because I'm tired of Brock Holt. Brock Holt's has overstayed his welcome in my mind.
Well, he did get that BS cycle.
Yeah, two of them, I think. Something like that. Yeah. I mean, that's very important to team unity and all that.
Well, you know what?
Rockstar.
We've just met the one man who has any kind of opinion on Brock Holt. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines. We'll be joined by the great Burt Breer by MMQB.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.